What we're going to do this evening is take another look at Jude verse 11. And the reason we're going to do that is what we're going to see is that the character spoken of in Jude verse 11 is very significant, although he's very often disregarded and not paid much attention. Now notice in Jude verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." We talked about that last time. "Ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." We're going to talk some about Balaam this evening. We're going to learn more about Balaam as we study to show ourselves approved unto God this evening. And I hope that you find this interesting. The error of Balaam is to run greedily, to be a hireling, attempting to get God to break his own word and do it because you're so wonderful and because there's a reward in it for somebody or other. You know, Pentecostal charismaticism spends a lot of its time acting as if God would be willing to break his own word and to do things in this dispensation that God has no intention of doing in this dispensation. For example, we do know that signs belong to Israel. We know that because we can read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. We know that, and we know that Israel has fallen, Romans chapter 11, verse 11. So for whom would the signs avail? There wouldn't be for anybody because Israel has no standing. So when Israel fell near the end of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, then there would be no longer any need for signs and wonders because it is for them that signs and wonders were intended. In Jude verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam." Look at what old Peter says in 2 Peter in chapter 2 in verses 15 and 16 about the way of unrighteousness and that involved in corrupting other people. In verse 15, Peter speaks of those which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Do you see that business? That not only does Jude refer to it in the middle verse in his book, but also Peter refers to it, the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Don't tell 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, that crime doesn't pay, because apparently it does. The wages of unrighteousness. Now, the wages of sin are death. And we know that there's no hope there for us without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in his finished work. Note now, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 16, "He was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet." And so God has a donkey talk to Balaam to straighten him out. Now, I realize that in the year 2007, you use terminology that is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, and people don't know how to take it. If there were a lot of children in the room, I would probably read a different verse because they'd start giggling when you talk about the dumb ass speaking. We live in such an intemperate society. We live now in a day when our language has been so defamed that you can't use the English language. Well, you know, there are people that have a terrible fuss over what they now call the B word. Well, the B word, and it has a B-I-T-C-H, that is a female dog. That's all it is. And so, you know, people try to make big things of things that aren't big at all, and you wind up not being able to speak the King's English the way it is presented to us in our authorized version, the dumb ass speaking. Donkeys don't talk. And so that's what dumb means there, that he shouldn't be speaking, but he does speak. And the word ass, that has to do with the beast that he was. And so, again, it's sad that we live in such a day and time when there's some language words that you really have trouble using anymore, and people would take it out of context, and who knows what they would do with it. But here you see what's going on. Balaam was so messed up, and he was going to do a wrong thing, that the Lord had a donkey talk to him to make him change his direction and to do something different. Now, look in Numbers chapter 31. Numbers, by the way, for you that are brand new to the Bible, is not the phone book, the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass. So now we've got some women who have followed after the counsel of Balaam, and the women are causing these other people to do a wrong thing, to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So you see these problematical situations associated with Balaam. Well, let's learn some more about Balaam and what the deal was with him. And now we're going to go to Numbers chapter 25 in verse 1, where we see Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their small g gods, and that in verse 2, Numbers chapter 25 in verse 2, they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods in direct violation of the commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And verse 3, Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So you see in Numbers chapter 25, verses 1, 2, and 3, just what the deal was that is referred to in Numbers chapter 31 in the matter of Peor, verse 16. The matter of Peor in verse 16 is described to you in Numbers chapter 25 in the first three verses. Now let's get some additional information on the table in Hosea. In chapter 9, in verse 10, we read, Hosea found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first stripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. So now, not only do you find out about the shame in Numbers 31 and read about the shamefulness of it in Numbers 25, further, you see Hosea referring to their abominations according as they love. They loved the wrong thing. They loved the abominations. Don't miss that, because you see what Jude is warning people against is woe unto them that ran greedily after the error. When people are running greedily after something, then that is something they are lusting after. That is something that they want to have a big pile of. And so, see, it leads to an abomination with them. In Jeremiah, the weeping prophet Jeremiah in chapter 11 and verse 13 also refers to it, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem had you set up altars to the shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Now, I suppose we could all join hands and sing right now, deck the halls with boughs of holly. I have a message on the website referring to boughs of F-O-L-L-Y, folly, because all of this business of burning incense to Baal, I call December the 25th Baal Day. There's not an ounce of Bible to back up anything that goes on December the 25th, and I know all of you know that. Turn, if you would please, to Psalms 106, the 106th Psalm, in verse 27, talking about overthrowing their seed among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Wow! So now we see part of the greed is taking things that had been sacrificed, and now they're stealing those things and eating them. And so a lot of greedy activity. But what I want you to see now, and what I want you to get your head around, is the number of references, the number of times this business of Balaam and Baal Peor are referred to. Do you see it in Numbers 31, in Numbers 25, in Hosea chapter 9, in Jeremiah chapter 11, in Psalms 106? What I'm going to suggest to you now is this. This error of Baal-Peor, this problem with Balaam, is something that is a significant teaching that Israel in the tribulation is going to have to understand and be able to avoid. The warning that is being given them in Jude verse 11 is serious, important stuff. And so, Jude verse 11, when the warning is against those who ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, we're seeing the greed and the activities associated with idolatry, the activities associated with whoredom. We see all of that in these verses. Let's look again now at Deuteronomy chapter 23 in verse 4. They met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Peor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Aha! Now look what has happened. Balaam, he not only is a greedy rascal, he not only has got women confused so that the women are teaching their charges wrongly, he not only is associated with whoredoms, he not only is associated with the greed and rapaciousness that he has, further, now he is paid to curse people. And so he collects money and pronounces a curse. I wonder, do you not wonder, how it is that the Pope can stand there and wave two fingers and say he's giving anybody a blessing? There's no possible way that sprinkling some holy water on somebody or raising a couple of fingers in the air with that vacant grin that all the popes have, and, oh, bless you, my child, bless you. You can't bless anybody. You sneeze, somebody says, God bless you. You know why they do that? Because the old idea was that when you sneezed, your soul started to come out of your mouth, and you needed to be blessed real quick to get your soul back inside of you, because if you'd have kept sneezing, you'd have just coughed yourself right out of you. Now, that's silly. That's a superstition that was back there in the 1500s. And so, I'm sorry, I don't want to upset anybody, but when you see the bumper sticker that says, God bless America, somebody's going to have to tell me why. Because for God to be obligated to bless somebody, that would require, would it not, a covenant standing, an if-then performance relationship. And we know from Ephesians 2, verse 12, that that is not where we are. Meanwhile, get back on point, I tell myself, dealing here with Balaam. And you see that he was paid to curse people, and he did it. And so, nevertheless, verse 5, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing. Now, there is one of the better verses for preaching and teaching in all the Scripture, turning a curse into a blessing. And where do you get that from? You got that from one of the biggest scoundrels in the Bible, that being Balaam. And you know, I know we live in the dispensation of the grace of God, but I'm going to say this to you. Nobody can do anything to you. You are complete in Christ. You are saved. You are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. And so when people curse you, when people attack you, they are really causing themselves more problems with their angst than they ever can cause you. Because you, dear friend, are complete in Christ. You, dear friend, Colossians 2:10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, are a new creature. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? I think so. Now, look with me from Deuteronomy chapter 23. We've looked at those verses. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 22. And let's look at a half a dozen verses in Numbers chapter 22. When the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho, and Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that around about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And so that's an interesting analogy. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messages therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, and which was by the river in the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out from the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. What you've got going on then is a Moabite, a heathen, trying to get Balaam to activate Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Do you see that? The last section of Numbers chapter 22, verse 6 is a reference to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And so here comes this Moabite, and he, a heathen, is attempting to pay to get a curse upon somebody that is he's worried about, and that's going to turn out to be Israel. And so he's willing to pay Balaam for putting the curse on them. Now look at Numbers chapter 22, verse 7. The elders of Moab and the elders of the Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So rewards, they got some money they're passing around. And verse 8, he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Now, Balaam's fixing to be a big fat liar. Balaam's fixing to do the opposite of what the Lord had instructed. God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Verse 10, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now and curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Well, Balaam isn't going to care about what God said. Balaam isn't going to care about the truth of the matter. Balaam, he's in it for the almighty buck. Now, this is the issue being referred to in Jude verse 11. Why would Jude raise this issue? Well, think, if you will, you are tribulation Israel, and you are going to have to endure to the end, waiting for the grace that shall be delivered unto you at the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ for his kingdom. And the law has changed, and the priesthood has changed, and along comes somebody with flatteries and vanity, and he tells you he can do something that he can't do, and he's doing it for his own aggrandizement. He's doing it for his own benefit. What Jude verse 11 is warning Israel against are the people who, such as the Antichrist, such as the false prophet who could fool Israel into doing wrong things in their tribulation setting. And so Balaam, he's a rascal. Note verse 13, Numbers chapter 22, verse 13. Balaam rose up early in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get ye into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. No. That's not what the Lord said. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith, I need to turn the page here in my notes, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. So, what's going on? What's going on is they are willing to pay Balaam to violate the very specific instructions that were given to Balaam by Jehovah God. Okay, I'm going to hold for a second. You tell me there's sound problems and there's a lag problem. Tell me where we are. Are you all with me? Is the sound returned? Or do we have a problem? It's fine now. Okay, it's fine now. Okay, very good. The last thing I saw was Shinobia saying sound is back now, and that's the first I knew it was gone. And so I was troubled by that, and I didn't want to mess up for your sakes or mine, either one. Where I left off was in Numbers chapter 22 in verse 17, and we saw in that verse, did we not, that they're going to promise Balaam big things, great honor. And so you see the idea of selfishness, the idea of self-aggrandizement being involved in all of this. Then in Numbers chapter 22, in verse 18, Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me a houseful of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now remember, Numbers chapter 22, verse 18, he has already done less. He has already held back information. He has already misled these people. And so he's just being disingenuous. He's just being sly. He's just being the rascal that he is. He's one of the great rascals in all of Scripture. Verse 19, Numbers chapter 22, verse 19. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. God's already said everything he needed to say. Verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 1 of chapter 23. Balaam is going to promise a blessing. Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet with me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. He's already told him, and he already has the information. He went to a high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice. He had made all the princes of Moab, and he took up his parable, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, come and defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this. What you're looking at here is very important information for the reader of Jude verse 11 to go back and study Balaam and Balak. You remember this business about the top of the rocks and from the hills I behold him? That's second coming language. That's Advent language about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth for kingdom Israel. So you've got a situation where Balaam declares that God has, in fact, blessed Israel, and that's going to be a blessing out of the tribulation when you see it in the prophetic context. Now, drop down to verse 11 in Numbers chapter 23, where Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. Drop down to Numbers chapter 23, verse 12. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with thee unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them. Thou shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. So the idea is, let's move. Let's go over here. Let's take another look at it. And from there, it might be easier to curse the Lord. Now, it's an interesting thing, brothers and sisters, when you consider Israel during the tribulation. The people who are associated with the Antichrist will be associated with the mark of the beast. The people who are associated with the little flock will have the mark of God on them, and they'll be confused about which is which. And so there's going to be a tendency on covenant Israel's part to think that blessing constitutes righteousness, because in the Old Testament it had. Yet things changed for them during the time of the Great Tribulation. So there's going to be an opportunity for tremendous confusion. Balaam, he again attempts to declare the blessing in verses 18 through 24. Let's look at that. He took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie." Now, by the way, there you have, right there in that verse, one of the great statements in all your Bible. God is not a man that he should lie. Some of the most profound things said in your Bible are said by some of these rascals back here, Balaam and Balak, in this business associated with Peor. It's fascinating to see that. You know, if we're not careful, we'll read right over a lot of very good and very important information in our Bibles if we don't study line upon line, precept upon precept. We come down to verse 20. "I have received a commandment to bless. He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn." Surely, by the way, may I say parenthetically about a unicorn? You don't know what a unicorn looks like. The fact that people have drawn pictures of a horse with one horn in the middle, that's a picture somebody drew. You don't know what a unicorn in the Bible looked like, and so I wouldn't jump to any conclusions. Your concordances or your commentaries will tell you it was some kind of a goat. Well, since you've never seen one, if I were you, I would hold back on coming to some stout opinion on those kinds of matters. Verse 22, "Thou brought them out of Egypt. He has the strength of a unicorn." Verse 23, "Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain." There is a tribulation passage, if ever you saw one, in Numbers chapter 23, in verse 24. Micah chapter 6, verse 5. "O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." So you've got fellows here that are willing to sell out and have every reason, as far as they're concerned, to sell out. They're trying to do they're being paid to do the opposite of what the Lord would have them to do. And so you see them equivocating back and forth and back and forth. Numbers chapter 23, verse 25, "Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all." So now what? He's going to take the money and do nothing. And again, you're seeing an example of where Jude verse 11 would apply to tribulation Israel. Because in their situation, they have the investment of the Holy Spirit that causes them to walk in God's statutes. You know that from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 30. So again, you're getting information in Jude verse 11 about Balaam that is significant to tribulation Israel. Now, Balaam, I'm suggesting to you, is a rather neglected Old Testament character, and yet it's fascinating the number of references about him, the number of information, the amount of information about him, and the number of things which he or Balak say, which are just as stunning and very interesting things which they say to us. Now, in Numbers chapter 24, let's go there in verse 2. We'll read a half a dozen verses in Numbers chapter 24. "When Balaam lifted up his eyes, he saw Israel abiding in its tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees behind the waters. That's kingdom kind of language, isn't it? He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Again, kingdom kind of passages. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations his enemies. Tribulation into the kingdom passage, and break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. Tribulation passage. He couched. He lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee. Back to Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. And cursed is he that curses thee. Again, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. So, Barak and Balaam have a problem. If the right thing is said according to Jehovah God's instruction, then they lose their payday. Balak's anger, Numbers chapter 24, verse 10, was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. So, you see, Balak, he is upset. He's bent out of shape in Numbers chapter 24 in verse 11, down to verse 12. Numbers 24, verse 12, Balaam said unto Balak, Spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sent'st unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Well, he lied about that earlier, and he equivocated about that earlier, did he not? Verse 14, And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, The man whose eyes are open has said, He has said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Note now, you've got a star out of Jacob, you've got here a scepter rising out of Israel. That is messianic second coming kingdom information, and look who's giving it to you. One of the rascals in the Bible that it takes a donkey to get him anywhere near right, it comes from Balaam. That's why we study all the Bible. We are mid-acts, we are Pauline, we are dispensational, but we study all the Bible. The Bible, rightly divided, we know better than to put ourselves under either Israel's blessing or Israel's curse. We are not Old Testament. We are not New Testament. We are the church of what is happening now. Now being the dispensation of the grace of God, which is hid from ages past and is now made manifest. Okay, we got down to Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. By the way, this star coming from Balaam's mouth, this star, take a look please just quickly at Matthew chapter 2 in verse 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus, or the question is asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where do you get information about the star? You get it from Balaam, of all people. We have seen his star. It's Christ's star. It has to do with his advent, but it is reported in your Bible from Balaam, and that's the only place you'll find it, the star. Now you find out he's going to be born in Bethlehem in Micah, but you don't find out about the star there, you find out about the star here. And so the guy who is such a problem that God takes a dumb animal, a donkey, and has the donkey talk to him, from that guy's mouth comes some fascinating information. We've already seen Balaam and Balak tell us God is not a man that he should lie. Now we're seeing from Balaam this business of the scepter rising out of Israel and the star rising out of Jacob. You know, that I hope, and the reason I'm kind of parking on this, is that I hope helps you to see what we're looking at is God's inspired scripture. We don't evaluate the Bible verses by the man who has them come out of his mouth. We do know that, do we not? We do know, for example, in Acts chapter 1, verse 16, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Had you been there, you'd have seen King David speaking. You'd have seen a man who was associated with Delilah. Bathsheba. And you'd have seen a man at the time when kings go forth, he didn't go forth. And you'd have seen a man who did a lot of wrong things and wound up getting Bathsheba's husband killed and manslaughter at the very least. But Acts chapter 1 verse 16 says, by the mouth of David, the Holy Ghost spake. We're not interested in King James. We're not interested in the translators on the committee. We're not interested in David, Balaam, Balak. We're interested in God's words, which he inspired and put in place for us to study. This kind of thing, when you see these marvelous passages come from the mouth of someone such as Balak or Balaam, just gives me an encouragement, I hope it does you as well, to understand that God inspired his word, and we are to study it. There's so much today in Christianity. When you go to a church and they pass out the Sunday school quarterlies, in those Sunday school quarterlies, you find out, where the city was and how many people lived in the city and what kind of shoes they wore and all of that kind of stuff, but you don't learn anything about the Bible doctrine. And so you might learn about Balaam, you might learn about Balak and this and that, and nitinoids about them and their lives, but you miss the doctrine. What a fascinating thing, this doctrine of God's inspired word, which we have perfectly preserved in our authorized version. Now, Numbers chapter 24, let's pick up where we left off in verse 18. Numbers chapter 24 in verse 18, and Edom shall be a possession, Seor shall also be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Look at verse 24:19. Numbers 24:19. That is a kingdom prophecy. And when he looked on Amalek, and he took up his parable, he said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be he perish forever. Not a pretty picture. And he looketh at the Kenites. And he took up the parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? Verse 24, and ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. So, some of these great prophecies about end time fulfillment come from one of the fellows in the Bible that is one of the least attractive of all the Bible characters, and that being our friend Balaam and his associate and what he deals with Balak. Now, in Jude verse 11, we see, firstly, the error of the way of Cain. And we looked at that in some detail last time. We also spent some time looking at Korah. This evening, I just wanted to take a little time with you and spend some time talking about running greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now, we live in a time, brothers and sisters, where we've got a lot of people in pulpits. We'd be a whole lot better off if they went home. They can't preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. They couldn't rightly divide. If you gave them a meat cleaver and a chainsaw, they wouldn't be able to rightly divide. And they're in it for the comfort level, the 401k, the salary. If You want to make good money in ministry? Be a Presbyterian. Their average salary is $78,000 for the senior pastor. I think Brother Lou, he'd take that probably. $78,000 is what they pay the preacher. Brother Moma, you take $78,000, I'm supposing, as you pastor there in downtown Dayton. Well, the thing that we can take from this is a spiritual truth that if you're in it for the almighty buck, you really ought to do something else. If you're in it for self-aggrandizement or to make a name for yourself, you really ought to do something else. And that would be a spiritualized truth that we can take from it. But we don't take from the book of Jude doctrine for this, the dispensation of the grace of God. We don't take from the book of Jude information as if it were written to us. It is written to tribulation Israel to warn them about their situation. And their situation is fraught with peril. They've got the Antichrist who's going to try to win them over with vanity and flatteries. And they have the warning, don't try to establish your own religion and be murderous at it. And that the way of Cain. And don't go the way of the error of Balaam, where you're willing to make up a story to make people happy in order that then you get the payday. Don't do that. That would be a wrong thing. All right, you guys, I'm going to wrap it up.